WCCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Hopes on both sides the two-year war in Gaza is over as a ceasefire takes effect. This Israeli man weighing in.
Such a happy moment for all Israelis and for all the Middle East.
Palestinians proceeding with caution.
We don't want them to take their hostages and then return to war.
They have been displaced multiple times and making impossible choices to survive.
Antoine Renard with the World Food Program. The White House is blaming politics after the president was snubbed for the Nobel Peace Prize today. Winner, Venezuelan opposition leader Maria Conchita Machado.
Thank you very much. It's an honor, and I know it's a recognition to our people, to the Venezuelan people.
The Phillies out of the running.
Jaez breaks his bat. Kirk Ring got to find it. Throws to the plate. Oh, my goodness. He throws it away.
The Dodgers onto the NLCS after rookie Orion Kerkering's 11th inning error on TNT. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WXCO News, I'm Isabella Nieto. Three Wausau residents have applied to fill the vacant District 5 seat on the City Council. The seat was left open following the death of Alder Gary Gisselman, who represented District 5 on the City Council and Marathon County Board. City Clerk Caitlin Bernardi told the Wausau Pilot and Review she received three applications, which included former Alder James Wodinski and current Marathon County Board member Aaron Greiner. Wodinski previously represented District 5 from 2020 to 2022. Greiner was appointed to serve out the rest of Gisselman's County Board term last month. The applicants will introduce themselves at next week's City Council meeting. Grant Elementary School is returning to the market after a pending sale for the property fell through. The school, located at 500 North 4th Avenue in Wausau, was closed to align with the district's consolidation plans earlier this year. Hawthorne Hills and Hewitt, Texas elementaries were also closed and sold this year. The Wausau School District continues to work with Tim Wimmer, a local broker, on the sale of the property, according to the district website. The building is listed for $550,000. The State Department of Transportation is hosting a second public involvement meeting about a project updating State Highway 52, also known as East Wausau Avenue. The roadway is showing signs of severe deterioration in the form of cracking in the asphalt and concrete pavement. DOT has also identified other needs throughout the project area, including outdated traffic signal equipment at the North 6th Street intersection, deteriorated curb and gutter and drainage inlets, and a lack of continuous standard street lighting. The meeting is scheduled for Monday at 5:45 p.m. at the Horace Mann Middle School cafeteria. I'm Isabella Nieto for WXCO News.
Game 5 tomorrow night. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the last time the Brewers faced Cubs pitcher Matthew Boyd, they knocked in three runs in the first inning. Last night, Boyd pitched into the fifth as the Cubs shut out the crew 6-0. Pat Murphy.
Yeah, I mean, he was great. Boyd was fantastic. He made pitches. How much money did they give him? $39 million. He earned it tonight. He was great.
So Game 5 is tomorrow night at 7:08 at American Family Field to decide who will advance to face the Dodgers for the National League pennant. NBA, the Bucks beat the Pistons 117-111 last night in preseason basketball in Milwaukee. NFL, the Packers face the Bengals Sunday afternoon, but kicker Brandon McManus injured his kicking leg at Wednesday's practice, a quad injury. Matt LaFleur.
Yeah, that's a major concern right now. So we'll see how he's doing today and tomorrow. And, you know, we'll have a plan ready to go.
Now, McManus says he thinks he'll be okay. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
98.9 WXCO, Wausau's real news and great conversation, and home to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
A few clouds this morning, then mostly sunny here by later this afternoon. Pretty nice day today with a high in the upper 50s to near 60 this afternoon. Tonight, clear. We'll drop to near 40 for a low. Tomorrow, another beautiful day with sunshine and a high in the mid-60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
State Senator Jeff Smith. We're talking about the Veteran Housing and Recovery Program. Republicans blocked funding for this.
They instead sent the governor a 16-page letter blaming him for this problem. Well, it was in his budget. Once the budget is out of his office and in their hands, it's up to them. Our job is to manage the funding. We can do it, but the governor can't. So it's avoiding our own responsibility by not addressing that.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, farmers across the country dealing with the Trump tariffs. We talked to a farmer from southwestern Missouri. Will Westmoreland will join us. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Mattenair on air.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News.
It's not the same.
Lake Wasota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News.
I don't know.
Pat Kreitlow.
I mean, I'm good to hear Don again, but I mean, after a week of Parker, yeah. I mean, it's kind of tough to go back. I don't know.
And Parker injects this like liveliness.
I know. And mm-hmm. I said we wanted to expand this. I'd love to hear some Kristen Lyerly intros and some Luke Mathers intros. I think it's time to open things up and crowdsource this. What do you think?
On board.
I think we could do that.
Audience members, think of all our audience members.
I know. We got that voice note feature on the Civic Media app that people can use and make their own little intro to an hour of the show.
Uh-huh.
Hey, it would work for me. Nice to have you back here up north. Nice to be home. 8:07 on this Friday morning, October 10th. That's Parker Olson in Studio A2 down in Madison and Dr. Kristen Lyerly. Back from wherever she's been, she's the only person I know that travels more than me sometimes, getting around. And you were in Boston this week.
Yeah, I was in Boston, some meetings, met with some folks from the Mass Medical Society and talked about all the crazy stuff that's happening in the world. You know, it's very interesting because we live in Wisconsin, which is a very divided state. We have a lot of opinions around here, but they're pretty blue in Mass. And to hear how they're practicing medicine and the things that they're worried about was really perspective forming.
I'll bet. Yeah. So we'll get into some of that in just a sec here. But first, from Rob, I know that he gave us a good morning here in YouTube. There he is. Good morning from Tigerton. It's cloudy and 50 degrees. Yesterday, I was busy mowing grass and leaves in the Tigerton area. I will be done mowing for the season this weekend. It was a great year mowing. I've been mowing every week since April 28th. Now busy doing paperwork for the mowing season. Says the fall colors are really hitting peak in the Tigerton area, and noted, as I did as well, that Governor Evers was talking about rustic roads because the rustic road system in our state is now 50 years old. So get out and enjoy the scenery, the nature, the historic buildings, the old farm buildings. Rustic Road 47 between Tigerton and Wittenberg on County M is the one closest to him. And then finally, he says, I have a sore right knee that's been bothering me in recent months. When I was 12 years old, I fell off a hay wagon. Maybe my football and farming is catching up to me as well. I think that's all just our transition to see how our favorite knee replacement patient is doing these days.
Well, good. It's been 6 weeks.
Okay.
You know, healing well, but, you know, it takes a long time.
Well, you're walking through all those airports, you know. You were telling me off air, you went through the Detroit airport, which nobody gets through without 10,000 steps on there.
Gosh. Yeah, you know? Stopped, stretched. And I refuse to do transport. Like, if I have time, I just am going to walk.
Oh, do you know what happened last night?
Oh, boy.
Not at the Dallas airport. We were at the Twin Cities airport. We'd arrived. And, of course, we always joke about how our gate is always, like, at the very end of any given concourse. Uh-huh. And, of course, there it was. And it was, what, you know, 6, 7 o'clock at night. And I think we looked fine, you know, but there's a cart over to the side and some younger fellow over there and just says to us, do you guys need a ride? And we, you know, we didn't. We were just like, but we walked away going, How old do we look right now that people are now officially saying, offering to help us across the street, you know? It's like, wait a minute. We should have gotten mad. Like, what are you talking about? No, we're young. We're virile. We don't need no ride. Instead, we were like, we almost said yes.
No, you probably said, oh, no, thanks. Thanks oh, no, anyway. Thanks.
We're yep. good. That's what we said. Like, no, you. Thanks anyway. We're good. And then immediately went into, what did he see in us that looked so, like, I don't recall hobbling. But anyway, those days are getting closer, closer, closer.
Maybe
but
you just look tired.
I always look tired, you know, and amazingly, Kristen never does. She comes off of these meetings still, you know, all charged up and everything. I'm assuming this is through your new work on the national board of ACOG.
No, this was with the Committee to Protect Healthcare, which is an incredible organization of nearly 40,000 doctors all across the country in every state doing this patient-facing advocacy work. So they're involved in a lot of things. Like here in Wisconsin, they were involved in the last two Supreme Court races, the ballot initiatives that were primarily about abortion all across the country. Lots of stuff where you need the voices of doctors specifically to talk about what this means for us and our patients. And in the era of RFK Jr., where we saw a recent study come out yesterday that the partisan divide where people place their trust is stronger than ever before. RFK Jr. is heavily trusted by Republicans, even though the things he says are frankly not true in many cases. Like, for example, this connection between autism and circumcision. Can we talk about that? Can we talk extensively about circumcision on our morning show this morning?
Can I? Again, we talked so much.
Do we have to set ground rules?
There's so much gyno talk, and instead we're doing circumcisions today, which, no, is again, fine because of the ridiculousness of it. And again, I hope Sherry doesn't mind me, you know, saying something personal here. But right before I texted you the story about Kennedy saying this, I showed her my phone, and there it is, Robert Kennedy Jr. trying to make a connection between autism and circumcision via Tylenol. And it's just one of those times when she looks at another RFK headline and just says, I don't want to go to work tomorrow. It's just like, I mean, the people who went to medical school, the people who study science, have to look at this yo-yo as the Health and Human Services Secretary. So naturally, my next step was to text it to you and say, yep, let's get into it. What made Robert Kennedy Jr. try to make a connection between autism and circumcision?
Hey, I don't know what made him do it, but I want to be very clear. He specifically referenced two studies, and he didn't say which two studies they were, but it is likely that they were two very poorly done studies with terrible methodology. That means that when you put a study together, you have a bunch of planning that you have to do. You have to pick your patients and you have to narrow what you're trying to study and make sure that it's actually going to come up with the results that are going to be meaningful. These studies were awful. But unless you understand the complexity of it on its surface, if you're just reading the headline, it could look legitimate. These are not legitimate studies. So why go here? Well, here's my theory. Circumcision is another one of those things that in my practice, in any OBGYN's practice, anytime we're talking about having a baby boy, we have a conversation with our patients about what are you thinking? And it's a complicated conversation. Some patients are, they know what they want to do. They feel comfortable with it. Other people want to have a very in-depth conversation about the risks and the benefits and what's the best thing for my family. And that's important to do. Don't get me wrong. And it's not for everybody. But to draw this kind of a conclusion and recognizing that this is a tender topic for many vulnerable families is so irresponsible coming from the person who is leading health and human services for this country.
Well, it is the equivalent of drawing on a hurricane map with a Sharpie.
Yes.
And that's what some of these studies, quote unquote, are like. And he, of course, doesn't care, much like Trump, doesn't care. You make the things say what you want them to say, whether it's what they really say or not. And now we've put another element of confusion, especially into pregnant women. Yes, the fathers and partners and everything as well. But it just seems, what has this guy got against pregnant women and women in general that so much of his gobbledygook is meant to alarm your patients.
He finds those sensitive topics that make people feel uncomfortable and he exploits them. And there was another clip where he said, "We are doing the studies to make the proof." That's not how science works. Mm-hmm. In science, you have a hypothesis, you have a question that you are trying to answer, and you guess, like, this is what I think is going to happen. But then you have to let the science do its work in order to be objective and honest and real and applicable. You can't tailor that science to prove a point that you are trying to make. That's flawed. But that's exactly what he said.
But that's politics. And that's just it. There's a difference between medicine and politics. And in politics, it is not at all uncommon for people to have a hypothesis about their values and then to try to pursue things that reinforce it, even if it means you have to conveniently ignore other things, you know, that work against your hypothesis. Science is not supposed to work that way. It's supposed to be, I mean, truly nonpartisan, supposed to be independent and let the facts speak for themselves. And then, you know, politicians are not supposed to then, you know, be fraudulent with what the science actually says.
That's why this Kaiser Family Foundation study that came out a couple days ago is so concerning, because what it shows is that people who call themselves Republicans believe what RFK Jr. is saying. People who call themselves Democrats and most independents continue to follow the science. So what we're seeing is people consume this information based on their political views. And that too is wrong. When I'm taking care of a patient in my exam room and somebody walks through the door and I know they're a Republican, I don't treat them any differently than an independent or a Democrat. We talk about what's going on with them. We talk about all the options for testing. We talk about all the options for treatment. We try to pick out the best alternative for them, because ultimately it has to work for you in your life. And it should not be tailored specifically depending on how you vote.
And I hate to be a broken record about this, but I feel like we have to end this discussion, like some of the other recent ones, in saying, because of the conflicting information and misinformation that's out there, it is more important than ever to not be afraid to ask questions. Now, there are some doctors that feel like you're the only person, we've got all day to talk about this. There are other doctors who they feel the pressure, like, you got 15 minutes, you got to get out of here.
And that's what you have too.
But don't. If you are the patient and you've got questions, you put them out there, even if they've got a follow-up later, but don't walk away having not asked the questions that you have.
Totally agree. And can I just mention one other thing? You know what population they haven't gone after? Postmenopausal women. I challenge the administration to go after hormone therapy, and they will have met their match. Right, ladies?
That amen I just heard was downright deafening. So yes, absolutely do that. Back to feeling our age from Tony on YouTube. A kid in elementary school called me sir yesterday morning. I felt so old. No, that's when you feel like a grown-up is the first time you get called sir. It's like, hey, look, I'm an adult now. But I noticed years and years ago now that far more than any other guys that I know, the number of people that always use the word sir, you know, when they're saying, here you go, sir, here's this, sir. And not in like some, in a way that totally says, yep, you're the old guy now in this particular conversation, you know? And she's like, no, you can just say Pat. I'm like, oh no, that would feel weird. It's like, really?
That's so regional too. So my ex-husband is from Atlanta, and mm-hmm. down in the Southeast, everybody is sir and ma'am. And that mm-hmm. is a standard thing. Like, you could be 16 and they'd be talking sir and ma'am with you. But up here, obviously, it's not like that. So much of that is cultural and interesting.
Interesting. And yes, it appears to be a little age-based.
Sorry, Tony.
Again, I'm sure if I'd listened carefully, the guy at the airport cart would have been like, sir, do you need a ride? No, and don't call me sir. But I didn't break out into a run to prove my youthfulness.
Jump over some suitcases. Yeah,
no, because my knees would not let me. That's just not the way that this is going to work. Mm-hmm. We're talking to Dr. Kristen Lyerly, and coming up in 15 minutes, we are going to be talking to Mike Clemens, and we're going to be talking a little sports. The Brewers taking it to a fifth game, facing now possible elimination against the Cubs, and the Packers get set to take on Cincinnati. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. More from Chippewa Falls coming up.
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Looking to turn your dream home into reality? K5 Construction is here to make it happen. From complete home builds to interior remodeling, decks and exterior upgrades, they handle it all. At K5, they focus on quality, excellence, and you. From design to final construction, they're with you every step of the way, on time and on budget. Whether it's your first home or your forever home, they're building your future. Build with confidence. Build with K5 Construction. Visit buildwithk5.com.
When severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane-powered generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent weeks, the level of activity from Immigrations and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, has increased quite a bit. There was a raid in Manitowoc at a Walmart parking lot where dairy workers were known to congregate, a series of arrests in Madison, and in Milwaukee, ICE is looking to expand its operations significantly by seeking office space downtown to go along with a new field office on the city's northwest side. This has been concerning for many, and not without reason. A recent large-scale ICE raid in an apartment building in Chicago saw reports of armed federal agents breaking down doors, U.S. citizens detained for hours on end, and children being dragged from their homes in the middle of the night. While the American immigration system has a host of problems, this kind of violent show of force is not an acceptable way to address these problems. And ICE also just received an injection of $45 billion in the One Big Beautiful Bill, so it is imperative for all of us to hold ICE accountable and speak out when things go too far. Right now, things are going way too far.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. For free, find a mentor today at score.org.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
And welcome back, WXCO Morning Report, part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO. Final segment of the week. We always try to wrap it up by me not going off the rails on politics and actually talking some Wisconsin sports going into the weekend with Paul Mickling. And well, let's talk about the Pack, because they were off last week. Did you have the shakes because there's no Packer game last week? Or were you able to use that warm, nice, beautiful weekend? And
you know what I was watching last night instead of the Brewer game?
What were you watching?
A.J. Green hitting threes for the Bucks. That's we got a lot of things. My point being is there's a lot of stuff out there and to watch and to go over and to get excited about. And I don't know if I even watched any NFL football last week, to be honest with you.
Well, let's talk about the Pack, though. They do have, you know, I mentioned Flacco. This game is almost like the Browns game, because when you look at it, there should be no problem. But the Cincinnati team has struggled. They are excited, I think, to have Joe Flacco, which says a lot about their situation at the quarterback position. But for Green Bay, come out here and put your foot on the throat after not doing that the last couple of games, right?
They have to. They have to. They should have did this against Cleveland. And, you know, maybe they're young yet, getting through some of this stuff. But the reality, if you look at the stats, They should be 4-0. They should be 4-0, and they're 2-1-1, and really they probably should be 2-2, to be honest with you. Luckily that ball bounced low.
Lucky
so
that trigger finger on the clock was
was gracious. Yes. So you're talking about a big situation. You want to come out here and do it. Now I will say Cincinnati does have other weapons besides more than Cleveland did. Those receivers are really good, and so they have other things besides that, and if they can get it to the key thing is if they can get it to him or not, and they think that Flacco can. I don't think I really saw it against when he was with Cleveland. He was more of a check down kind of guy and making sure not to try to make those mistakes and get rid of that ball as quick as possible. So it'll be interesting to see how quick he catches on that. But if the Green Bay wants to take a step, not just this game, but these next four games are going to be a highlight to see. Football is a crazy thing. I mean, look at the Eagles last night. I mean, they got dismantled by the Giants. So let's take a deep breath. Let's see what they do these next 4 weeks, specifically this Sunday, and see if they come out and they pick that. And they should have that line back, which will help some of those guys in the line. And let's see what they can do if they can keep on continuing that domination on offense.
Speaking of the Bucks, did you hear the story about from Shams at ESPN about Giannis and the offseason? Maybe a little discussion. My point of this is I don't care one bit about that. And I don't care that they may have had a phone call. I don't care that they've been open to this because that's just the way it is. I think, you know, a lot of stories will be written about it. I have no doubt Giannis is 100% in for the Milwaukee Bucks as long as he's with the Milwaukee Bucks.
And his brother's on the team.
Exactly. So, I mean, that was a big story, and I think Doc was trying to brush it off, and I agree with Doc. I mean, whatever. I mean, after last season and with the changes, I'm not surprised Giannis may have had thoughts. I am not surprised the Bucks may have made a phone call. They knew, even making that call, that the Knicks don't have the assets right now because they basically unloaded all their number one picks for the near future in a trade for Bridges.
Yep.
But I don't think this is going to be an issue at all for the Bucks as we start the season. You agree?
I agree. Are you telling me if you're not, actually, even if you are the champion, you're always looking to improve, right? Mm-hmm. You're always looking to see what's going on and how it could be done. And so if you're not going through that, at least as a thought process, you're not doing your job.
Right.
And so and that goes for any profession. You're always trying to do that, not just athletics. So I think that they definitely, they're in a good spot. I think they have a little more depth and I think Giannis, he was sitting with the crowd last night a little bit, and then he came to the sidelines, and his brother came in with 6 minutes left, and they're all big cheers, even though there's like 20 people there. But, he's going to be, once he gets going, let's just see how the season goes. Mm-hmm. I saw somewhere where they're like the 16th best team. If you have the best player in the league, I think you're automatically in the top 10.
And I think Miles Turner's going to be a nice fit. I do think some of these younger guys have the opportunity to maybe step up. I think there is a roadmap because this conference with Boston being banged up like they are, the Knicks, you have question marks, a new head coach. You never know how that's going to work out. And there's always the issues with New York just the way it is. Cleveland, I think, is the favorite going in, but they know that this is a make-or-break year because they can't afford to keep this team together any further. But if Milwaukee, maybe this is the position to be in where, hey, you got Giannis, you got some of these guys who are going to get an opportunity maybe this year to grow, that it could be a team that is competitive because it is more of an open East, I think, this year, too.
Agreed. And if they... Key thing is he's got to stay healthy.
yeah, that is the.
I mean, I'm not going to sit here and lie and say that's not, but you could say that for the last 10 years.
Exactly.
I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, that's,
we've seen it in the playoffs.
We've seen it in the playoffs, and that's what's happened in the playoffs, that he hasn't been healthy. So to say that they're not, if he was healthy, Damian was healthy, we wouldn't be having this conversation probably. So it's part of the life and the journey, and that's why what makes it, when you do have success, it makes it that much better. And they as long as they continue to keep winning more games than they, because I know you had this discussion last year, we did, as long as they win more games than lose by a decent amount and give themselves a chance, they're good.
Absolutely. And do the Badgers win tomorrow against Iowa?
Yes.
Okay. I think it's going to be a very interesting game. I think I might agree with you on this one. You love their new quarterback. Is he still playing? Their new.
Yeah.
Okay.
As of now.
I can't say I've really been paying attention to.
Well, they haven't said it.
Is Edwards out for this year?
They don't know yet, okay. And that's what is lingering.
Okay, all right. Well, have a good game tonight, and we'll catch you next week.
Have a great weekend, guys.
Hey, Ian. Oh, real fast. Number for the day. How many years has Joe Flacco played in the NFL? 16, 18, or 20?
No, I'm going to say 20.
18. Oh, for right. 5 for the second straight week.
Wow.
Oh, for 5?
2 weeks in a row.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
It sucks.
We're going to, you call a slump. This is a slump that's sending you back to the minor leagues here. Absolutely. This is, we'll try better Monday.
I certainly hope so.
Have a good weekend.
You too, Chad.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
98.9 WXCO, Wausau's real news and great conversation.
And home to Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
For WXCO News, I'm Isabella Nieto. A Wisconsin mental health advocate is using his own story to break down stigma in the workplace. Cody Green is a mental health advocate, author, and content creator. He'll be in Wausau this weekend, signing copies of his book called Minds Over Meetings, A Personal Perspective on Wellness in the Workplace.
It's about mental health and mental illness in the workplace. I myself am diagnosed with schizophrenia, and I have struggled with mental health issues for most of my adult life.
Green says his book is aimed at helping those struggling with mental illness navigate the workplace and advocate for their needs.
I really break down how I learned to deal with stigma in the workplace, how I learned to talk to HR, management, how I learned to communicate about how I was struggling and what people around me could do to help.
He also says he learned how to understand his rights as a worker, and he wants employers to understand how a lack of accommodations can hurt employees dealing with mental illness.
So I took all of these things and tried to incorporate it into basically a guide for not only people who struggle with mental health or mental illness, but for caregivers, for people in HR who want to be more accommodating, for management, anyone that cares about how we view mental health in the workplace.
Green has one key message for those struggling with mental illness. You're not alone.
When I started hearing about like other people who were struggling, it gave me a sense of community. It helped me feel like I wasn't alone in this journey. And that's all I want other people to feel when they read my book or when they hear my stories.
Green will be signing books at 1 p.m. on Saturday at the NAMI Northwoods Healthy Minds Art Show at Art on Grand. I'm Isabella Nieto for WXCO News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. It's called show business for a reason, and oftentimes the business part is what drives creative or really talented people away, such is the case with actor Chauncey Leopardi, best known for his role as Squints in The Sandlot. The actor recently sat down with People.com and said that as an actor, it was the constant auditions and the grind that made him step back from the biz. These days, Leopardi is busy raising his 5 children and running a cannabis business, saying it was a pretty smooth transition as he always had a life outside Hollywood. He also added that he really enjoyed his life as an actor. His credits also include Freaks and Geeks and Father of the Bride. Here's another really cool thing that came out of the interview. Squints says he still keeps in touch with Smalls, Benny the Jet, and Ham. He says they have multiple group chats and not only text quite often, but actually see each other at sports signings and events. Great story. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 98.9 WXCO, Wausau's home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
A few clouds this morning, then mostly sunny here by later this afternoon. A pretty nice day today with a high in the upper 50s to near 60 this afternoon. Tonight, clear. We'll drop to near 40 for a low. Tomorrow, another beautiful day with sunshine and a high in the mid-60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
Hey, everybody. Todd Allball here. If you've been to a Wisconsin sports event, especially a football game, you've heard his voice.
First and 10, Wisconsin.
That's Badger Public Address announcer Mike Mankey. Join us Friday afternoon at 2:30 as we catch up with the Badger legend during UW Homecoming Week. How does he come up with those iconic calls?
Run, Dane!
And what are his best Badger moments? Join us for a conversation with Mike Mankey Friday at 2:30 on the Todd Allball Show.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I talk about the new Civic Media sports show, Make the Call, with Parker Olson and Greg Gunderson. And it's a bar band Friday night, so Terry Barr is in the house. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
I let Dr. Lyerly go without promoting her show, which she works on every week and is now heard Saturdays at noon all across the Civic Media Radio Network. So tune in for the Dr. Kristen Lyerly show tomorrow at noon. Her guest is candidate for governor Kel DeRoys. And I was making the note earlier about, shall we say, the youthfulness of the current field of candidates for governor. And I thought, well, if I gave one, I better give all the rest of them here. So what I've got here is Josh Call, who is not in the race now, is 44. Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez is 50. Fran Hong, 36. Kel DeRoys, 46. Missy Hughes, 57. Dave Crawley, 39. Mandela Barnes, a potential candidate, 38. Republican Tom Tiffany, 67 years old. So, again, a lot of opportunities for folks who either will get the governorship next year or there's a U.S. Senate race 2 years after that. So, again, Kel DeRoys will be on with Dr. Lyerly coming up at noon tomorrow. Let's bring in now Mike Clemens, and let's talk a little sports here. About, well, you got the Brewers and the Cubs, unfortunately, now the Cubs facing elimination. And so I guess we may as well start there as well as anything else. Mike, good morning. How you doing?
Well, it was tough last night, man. The momentum shift after Quinn Priester's performance the other night is just unbelievable. I just flip a switch, and I don't know if it starts with the atmosphere, the Cubs fans there at the friendly confines. Freddie Peralta starting last night, and you know what? Did you see at one point the fans at Wrigley were chanting, Freddie, Freddie?
Yeah, and I did not think that would get into his head, but it seems to have done just that, and that's why I said earlier, anybody who's got a ticket for tomorrow night's game, man, you better not let the Cubs fans be louder than you, because they do not need to feel like this is a home game. This is our territory. We got to protect it in a game 5, 7:08 first pitch tomorrow, pregame at 6:30 on stations across the Civic Media Radio Network. And yeah, how much are we missing Brandon Woodruff right now?
Well, that sounds like simple analysis. And after the game last night, I went up and down this playoff roster, and that's it. I mean, it's simple. That's it. So, you know, let me set the scene here. It's last Saturday afternoon. The crowd that the Brewers drew of Brewers fans was just phenomenal. And I've been doing this since 82. I got in as a producer to cover those World Series games. And I was talking to Mike Vassell, the PR director, after game 2, and I said, this crowd, man. He goes, I know. I said, did you guys like have auditions and rehearsals? This was crazy. Because, you know, they had a great rendition of the national anthem, other kinds of pageantry, a little tribute to Euchre. The crowd got there early. They were all, like, mostly in their 30s and 40s, and frankly, a lot of them sober for that afternoon game. And then they bring out Charlie Behrens, and he's waving that rally towel. They gave out 42,000 rally towels. And I'm like, oh, my. And they were just so in sync with all the things that, you know, that the scoreboard crew plays to get the crowd going. And they just dominated with noise and everything. Brewers jump out to a 6-1 lead. They win game 1. They win game 2. One thing that was interesting is that both these teams, you know, they're scoring early in the games. I think that was combined by the end of the first inning was 32 points for both teams. 21 of those points in the first inning, which is a new Major League Baseball record in a playoff series. So then they get down to Chicago, and with Brandon Woodruff out, their starting pitchers for a playoff is Freddie Peralta. And then the number 3 guy was the Quinn Priester, 25-year-old, who grew up around Chicago. He only lasts 39 pitches in game 3 the other night. They hit him for 3 runs, and they end up losing that game 4-3. Then last night, Freddy Peralta gives up a three-run homer to Ian Happ. Two outs, 1-1 pitch, guys on first and second, and it looks like Freddy's going to get out of that jam. Nope. The Cubs jump out to a 3-0 lead, and that just changes the atmosphere. Now, when you've got a lead like that, especially in a postseason game, your pitchers can relax and coast and aim for the strike zone, and the Brewers only got three hits last night. And now it's even Steven tomorrow night. I don't know what Murph's going to do. I think he made a very wise move that he said, okay, look, I really only have two starting pitchers. So what I'll do is let's secure game one, put Freddie out there. That worked.
Yep.
Let's go by pitcher by committee for game two here at home. So then we're at Wrigley. We'll put the kid in there, and if he can win game three, boom, we're done. Well, it didn't work, and now they're running out of pitchers, and I don't know what he's going to do tomorrow night.
And everybody's kind of wondering / worrying about that. For Priester, I don't know if the term is proper here, if I say, you know, the yips, in that he just could not hit the strike zone with his signature pitch. And, you know, the closest example I have was growing up in Minnesota, where Chuck Knobloch was like one of the premier shortstops. And then he moved to the Yankees and he did okay for a season or two there. And then he got the worst case of the yips, I think, perhaps anybody's ever seen, where he could not throw a ball to first base to save his life and ultimately left the game. And I'm not trying to project onto Quinn Priester here. I'm just saying that there is, much like a batting slump, I mean, it just gets in your head if you can't find a way to deal with it. And I worry about the kid that way. The other kid I worry about, Jacob Mizorowski, we're going to need him to pitch multiple innings of relief tomorrow. And again, with that 103-mile-an-hour fastball, he's got to hit his marks.
Got to hit his marks. Got to, you know, put a little bit more motion on the ball. And he had some kind of a bit of an emotional breakdown when guys started hitting him. You know, Murphy, and we won't go into detail on that, but it's something where Murphy has to protect it. He's just a kid. He's, you know, 23, the Miz. Lots of pressure on him. You know, maybe they should have held off on the T-shirts, whatever. But anyway, that's what's going to happen tomorrow night. You know, the good news is the game is at home. If the Brewers can, you know, turn it around and get that same momentum going they had last weekend, they would be at home on Monday night against the L.A. Dodgers, a team that they've swept. Yes. So we'll see.
Yeah. And the Dodgers get in on one of the craziest final plays ever. Philadelphia's pitcher Orion Kerkering, I think is the name, and just having what should have been a relatively easy, you know, comebacker to the mound, throwing it to first or home. He chooses to throw it home, and it goes way wide. Dodger runner scores. Dodgers clinch the series. Again, that kind of heartache that will haunt, you know, Philly fans for the entire winter. But you know, that's how baseball works. Is sometimes a single errant throw can change everything.
There's a hit. It gets hit back to this pitcher, and he's got the ball in his hands. Now, the runner on third base is already halfway down the line, right? He's rolling. There's two outs, and the Phillies just need one more out to win this game or to keep the game going, because they were in extra innings. And in a panic, instead of picking up the ball, which he was kind of having a hard time getting a hold on, and throwing it to first, where, you know, he had plenty of time to throw it to first before the batter got there, he flips it to his catcher. It goes wide. The Dodgers score, and they win the game and end the series. So, and then you could see the Phillies manager talking to him right away, like, hey, you know, you didn't lose this thing, because he could go down in baseball lore forever in Philadelphia as the guy who blew a series. And frankly, for the Brewers, I'd rather see them take on the Dodgers than the Phillies, because they didn't match up very well against Philadelphia.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you got to avoid that Bill Buckner label that gets
right.
On somebody.
Right. That kind of a label. Them. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. Yep. Let's switch over to basketball, because the Bucks, they're getting close to starting that regular season. They had the Pistons last night in a preseason game at the Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee. And still the rumors about Giannis possibly leaving. Good Lord, Mike, the national press will not leave this alone.
You know, and that's what my feeling was in August or so, and until the details came out this week. And it's like, oh, okay. The fact of the matter is, The season ends for the Bucks. Damian Lillard goes down with the Achilles. And so the Bucks make these bold moves where they release Dame Lillard. They make the trade for Miles Turner from the Pacers. They rebuild their roster. They move on. They moved on from Middleton and then Brooke Lopez. And in June and July, they present this to Giannis, thought that they had a deal. And then the next thing you know, John Horst gets a call, and he's flying to Greece to meet with Giannis and his agent while Giannis is playing for the Greek national team in the European leagues. And Giannis is like, you know, what would it take for me to get into New York? Like, he thinks of New York as another destination. If he was interested, if he went anywhere, it would be that. But anyway, he constantly is challenging the team about what can they do with the roster. And they've done everything that they can. Really. So it's come out down to that. They did have talks with the Knicks in August, but the Knicks gave up, you know, four or five of their first round picks to get this Mikal Bridges. You have to now watch between the period of February 1st and February 4th, where, you know, without going into details, there's a window there that maybe that the Mikal Bridges could be moved when his contract reaches a certain spot if Giannis goes to that deal. So I think it'll pretty much be, all right, we'll see how the season is going, and then, you know, maybe make a final decision before the trade deadline, February 4th.
All right, well, we got him for now to start the season. That's the important part, is get the season off to a strong start. Badger football, the Badgers with their 2-3 record will be hosting Iowa at 6 p.m. on Saturday, so the pregame will be starting at 4 o'clock on some Civic Media stations there. And then let's get over to the NFL here, where the Packers are going to host the Cincinnati Bengals. And a little deja vu, a 3:25 kickoff Sunday, 1 o'clock the pregame starting on Civic Media stations, and the deja vu being Joe Flacco, guy that they just played a couple of weeks back when he had Cleveland uniform on. This is something you never see in the NFL.
No. One of the reporters joked when LaFleur came in and said, so when's the last time you played Joe Flacco? You know, I was like, yeah, a couple of weeks ago, right? Yeah, Joe Flacco was brought in as a quarterback for the Browns this year. And, you know, the Cleveland fans have been ripping on him because he's too conservative and not, you know, driving the ball downfield. And he's 40 years old. And these quarterbacks, even Brett Favre has said that. He said, you know, I was a different quarterback when I was 38 as opposed to 25. I was safer with the football, believe it or not. And, you know, you just tend to be that way. Aaron Rodgers, the same thing. Anyway, they moved on in Cleveland with Dylan Gabriel. The Bengals are desperate because Jake Browning, their backup, has thrown 8 interceptions. They've lost their last 3 games. They're trying to, you know, hold the phone for Joe Burrow when he comes back from toe surgery at some point. And so they get Flacco. And LaFleur and Jeff Hafley, the defensive coordinator of the Packers, think, hey, there's a good chance that this guy could actually, you know, adapt to this, that sort of pocket offense that the Bengals run anyway. So he'll be out there at 3:25 on 4 days to prepare for a game. One thing we're watching, though, is the kicker situation. Brandon McManus, your 34-year-old ace kicker for the Packers at Wednesday's practice, he's kicking balls, and all of a sudden, twink, feels something in his right quad, in his kicking leg, in his thigh. Mm. And he said, you know what, this happened to me 3 years ago. I got through it. It happened on a Wednesday. I still kicked on Sunday. I kicked a 40-yarder or a 50-yarder. So he might be a question mark for Sunday's game at kicker.
All right. Well, and back to Favre, today is his 56th birthday. And so if he's comments about his playing shape, I mean, we're facing Aaron Rodgers in a couple of weeks here. Maybe the game between that, the Arizona, maybe we end up facing Favre at 56. Maybe he feels like he's got something to prove there. Anyway, Packers-Bengals, again, coming up this Sunday, and Mike Clemens will be following it all, and we will talk to him all about it next Friday as well. Safe travels, Mike. Have a great weekend.
You know, we laugh about that, but stranger things have happened in the NFL. Have a good weekend, Pat.
Stranger things have happened. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it very, very much. And again, 3:25 kickoff, 1 o'clock is the pregame for the Packers and Bengals. For the Badgers against Iowa, coverage begins at 4 o'clock tomorrow for kickoff at 6, homecoming against Iowa. And Brewers and Cubs, pregame starts at 6:30 tomorrow. Some final news and notes back home in Lake Wasota after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media.
Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. With small ships that bring travelers closer to the destination, there's more time to explore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow humans some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Hey everybody, Todd Allball here. If you've been to a Wisconsin sports event, especially a football game, you've heard his voice.
First and 10, Wisconsin.
That's Badger Public Address announcer Mike Mankey. Join us Friday afternoon at 2:30 as we catch up with the Badger legend during UW Homecoming Week. How does he come up with those iconic calls?
Run, Dane!
And what are his best Badger moments? Join us for a conversation with Mike Mankey Friday at 2:30 on the Todd Allball Show.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
All right, let's look ahead at what you'll find across the Civic Media Radio Network later on, coming up on the Matt Nair On Air program with Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach. Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area joins Jane and Greg just after 10 o'clock this morning. And then get this, Todd Alba today at 2:35 is going to be talking to Mike Mankey, the PA announcer for Badger Athletics. Oh. I've been hearing some promos for that. The man behind the voice, as Todd likes to say. So that should be a lot of fun.
I'm really excited about that. I want to make sure I hear that today.
But you'll be napping. You're always napping at about that time.
I am. Oh, I'm actually really going to have to nap because I'm going to be on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba tonight. So I actually might.
Wait a minute. Let me scroll down here.
I don't know if it's in there. I haven't looked.
Let me scroll. It's not on here. Are you sure? Somebody pulling your leg? All I see under Nightlight with Pete Schwabba is Bar Band Friday. Includes the original song Baseball on the Radio in honor of the Brewers, written by Southern Wisconsin musicians. I'm not seeing any Parker Olson here. Thing.
I'm pretty sure. Me and
not pulling your leg.
Okay. Me and Greg Gunderson, I think, are going to be on tonight.
Yeah. Okay.
Talking about our new sports show.
Maggie Dawn has Jeremy Janine from Urban Milwaukee. Let's see. Also Jennifer Sullivan, director of health coverage access for the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, talking about the rising cost of health insurance because of Republicans cutting subsidies for the Affordable Care Act. And also Terry Barr will join Maggie for What's Good and Local but Overlooked. But getting back to Todd here for a second, not only does he have Mike Mankey coming on, but it says here at 3:06, weirdly specific time, but after the 3 o'clock news, there's going to be a VIP ticket giveaway to the world premiere of No Packers, No Life, the incredible story of an avid group of Japanese Packers fans making their way to the Mecca of Lambeau Field, debuting at the Majestic Theater in Waukesha. And Todd's going to have VIP tickets to give away for this thing.
Wow.
How fun is this guy?
That's very fun. He's big time. How about that? VIP?
VIP tickets. What do we got?
We don't even have tickets.
I'm looking around. I can give away my Roy Kent coffee mug. That's about it.
You're not separating yourself from that.
No, I'm not. Totally not. No. Are you going to be watching your Whitewater football team in action this weekend? I should have gone over the WIAC schedule with Mr. Clemens while he was here.
Yeah, that's all right. Whitewater is playing against Stevens Point this weekend. Stevens Point is how you would say, lowly. They are okay. Not good. So... Uh-huh. I might not watch. I might just listen and watch something else.
Okay. Let's see. We've also got UW-Eau Claire is traveling to UW-La Crosse.
Yeah. That's
and we've got Platteville heading to River Falls.
That'll be fun.
Again, Whitewater at Point and Oshkosh heading to Stout for the standings here overall. Yeah. I mean, it's only week two. You know, I mean, so
conference play,
at the top, you've got Platteville, La Crosse, Oshkosh, and Stout all with 1-0 records. And then now at the bottom with 0-1 records, Eau Claire, River Falls, Stevens Point. Ooh.
Yeah.
Is that Whitewater really down there at the bottom?
Whitewater lost in double overtime to La Crosse last week. So,
is that a symbolic victory? Can we make it like 0-1-1?
Oh, no. It was not that. It felt like we lost four games because we're up 17-0 at halftime and we didn't score until overtime.
I see.
No symbolic victories here.
Okay, I gotcha. On the text line from Tiffany in River Falls, talking about Shannon Zimmerman saying, I think our assembly district gets forgotten because we're so close to the Twin Cities and we're part of the Twin Cities media market. We have to seek out Wisconsin news and it's so frustrating, but it's why I love civic media and I tell everyone to listen. And Tiffany, we appreciate that very much because again, both from Up North News, which is part of Courier Newsroom, and civic media, a real core focus has been getting Wisconsin news out to places that have a tough time getting Wisconsin news, places that are in the Twin Cities TV market or the Duluth TV market, or they're down there, you know, closer to Chicago. And it's just tougher to get Wisconsin news into some of these places. It's kind of like, Parker, the way every year we have members of Congress introduce bills so that you can actually see the Packers everywhere in Wisconsin, including if you're in the Twin Cities TV market, and yet nothing ever comes of it year after year after year.
Yeah.
It's tough to feel like you're a Wisconsinite in some of these border communities.
It is. It sucks. I think that's part of too why you see so many Cubs fans at Brewery games is because they're all right there.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So again, you've got organizations like these that are trying to put more Wisconsin news, Wisconsin sports into these places and kind of bring more of Wisconsin together and feel a bit more united. It's way too easy to feel like you're more part of a TV market than what's inside your state borders. But who your legislator is in Hudson, you know, in St. Croix County and in Pierce County, you know, these things should matter a lot to the voters there, but you'd never know listening to Twin Cities media. So I'm glad we're filling a role there, especially around the 3rd Congressional District. You know, we've got so many stations in and near the 3rd District so that people are hearing much more about the importance of the congressional representative for that area, whether it's Derek Van Orden this year or whether it's, you know, one of the other candidates that wants to unseat him. These are uniquely Wisconsin issues that people deserve to hear about. It's part of what we talked about with Congressman Mark Bocan yesterday and why he's doing town halls throughout the 3rd congressional district because the current representative there isn't holding any. And so once again, you got people with a focus on bringing news to all of Wisconsin so that you have, you know, the right representation in both Madison and in Washington, D.C. when these elections are all over. Well, Parker, hope you have a good weekend. Good luck to Whitewater anyway.
Thanks.
And of course, to the Brewers, the Badgers, the yes. Packers as well. We will be summing all of it up, of course, Monday morning, 6 a.m. back here up north. I'm Pat Kreitlow, founding editor of Up North News, the Wisconsin outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. Have a great weekend. See you Monday.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. A Gaza ceasefire went into effect this morning after the Israeli government approved the first phase of a peace plan with Hamas. CBS's Weijia Jiang.
President Trump says he will leave on Sunday for the Middle East, where he will attend the signing of the peace deal.
The president's hope that his efforts would win him the Nobel Peace Prize this year have been dashed. The Norwegian committee has awarded it to Venezuelan opposition leader Maria Corina Machado, who lives in hiding.
I'm honored, humbled. I am very very grateful on behalf of the Venezuelan people.
The White House is chalking up the president's snub to politics over peace. The French are paying tribute to a favorite pastry at the post office. CBS's Vicky Barker from the Foreign Desk.
The French Post Office has created a special edition scratch and sniff airmail postage stamp that emits the scent of a croissant.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.